And welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by M&M Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, your place for great used Jeeps that are rust-free. And also by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, your one-stop shop to get your Jeep upgraded. All right, guys, today on the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, we're going to talk a lot about fenders, and TJ fenders in particular. Might also have to do a little bit to do with the YJs, I'm not sure. But I want to talk about the most common problem with TJ fenders. On the top side of any TJ you could look at, there's always going to be a rust spot. And you probably wonder, why is that rust spot there? So the rust spot is from the rust coming from underneath instead of over the top. So no matter how much you wash it, the problem is underneath. Even washing underneath isn't really going to help it out. Mainly because of how the fender is engineered, from how I understand it. My buddy Wade kind of explained it to me better, and kind of rehashing his story. But the way he talks about it, there's two pieces of metal, and sandwiched in between is like a foam rubber sealant. From the factory, that's the way it comes. And what happens, you get a little salt water in there, and it can't get back out because it just kind of gets stuck in that foam rubber piece. After you drive in the winter, you know, Minnesota or in the north, wherever, you're going to have some salt on the roads, and so you'll get that in there, and then it will start rusting from underneath. So what I did at first, and what a lot of people might do, is they repaint it. So I ground it all down and got there, found some good metal, you know, put some pour 15 in there, put some primer, paint it, sand it down, and that worked for a couple years. But the problem is still the underlying piece is still going to rust from underneath. And I had one fender that was happening. The other fender was pristine clean. No problems at all. So it's really a luck of the draw and sometimes. But I knew the problem was there on my driver's side. So every time I got in there, I saw this fender. So my fenders weren't as bad as a couple of my friends, particularly my buddy Brent and Wade, both had the fender problem. So Wade actually took the first step and said, well, I'll just buy new fenders. So what he did is he found replacement fenders, same color. I think I went and picked them up for him even. I went to a swap meet, picked them up, brought them back home, and he put those new fenders on. Worked fine, but they were just a little bit less rusty what he had, so the problem came back. Another thing you could do is just cover it up. So they literally sell stickers in the magazines that you probably already get at home, or like, you know, metal, corrugated metal you can stick on top that just 3M right to the top. So he's basically covering up the problem. But it's still going to rust from underneath. So the problem is still going to be there. And so if your goal, and as I'm writing this down, I kind of said, you know, problem, got rusty fenders, and goal is to be rust-free. Not to have that problem, because it's an eyesore. And it's just not fun to have. It's just a very common spot. So we kind of talked about it a little bit, but you replace the stock fender with similar colors, or the same color, or you could paint over the top. I did all that, and it still came back. So the problem is just the engineered, how the fender was engineered from the get-go is the main problem. So you kind of start to run through the gamut of what are the options. The magazines that are out there, you know, the Quadratec and so on, and you know, 4-Wheel Parts, and what was the other one? Oh, shoot. The other one is, I can picture it, Extreme Terrain. So their websites, so their, you know, magazines, you can go and look at all the things, the solutions they might have. So you could go with the fishbone type, where you replace the whole fender, or you can get a repop fender from, yeah, that's what I'm talking about first, the repop. You get a repop fender from eBay even, painted $275. But it's engineered the same way, and it's probably going to have the same problem. It might even last you 5-10 years. But in the end, it might be a little bit thinner metal, might not line up right. I was kind of reading a lot of reviews, and then you have to do that to both sides. You know, so you're talking $600 for something that might not be painted up to what factory spec might be. So that was always a problem for me, just to do that. So then I thought, well, maybe I'll buy one and then take it to a shop, a local shop, a local paint shop. Well, they wanted another $300-$500 per side just to get the paint right, to get up the factory spec. So you're talking, you know, $600 to $1,000 or more just to get those two fenders done. So And I only needed one, but I didn't want it to be not match. So, but my other friends, they needed two. So that's kind of was giving me that option. So, talked about the Repub. Okay, yeah, the magazines and the website. So they have like the Fishbone or some that's, I can't remember if it's Metal Cloak or some other brands that are out there where you have to buy the whole inner fender and so on and so forth. And sometimes the type of metal it is, and I learned this from Rock Sliders. But the type of metal and the powder coating they had to do, it still tends to rust. It gives you a surface rust pretty quick. So again, now you have just a different rust problem. If you drive your Jeep, in the winter at all, you're gonna have that problem. So it was just like, what are the other options? What else could we do? So I didn't want to cover it up because I knew the problem was gonna be there, just be worse. And I've seen some really bad fenders online where they're just totally rusted through. And then I'm like, well, I just wanted to do something different. And what I did is what my friends did. They went ahead and bought some MCE fenders, and you can get them for pretty cheap. And basically what it is you have to do some major surgery to your Jeep. So you got to you cut the you know you take the outer fender flare off. And you actually have a template that goes in there, and you're only keeping part of the top of the fender, and just a bit of it, and that's holds up the plastic piece. And I'll have on a social media. You can go ahead and look at my pictures because I have actually my good fender, and then the and how I cut that all up. I have a kind of a pictorial review, or you can watch it on there. And so I did. I went through that process of doing that, and I actually took out the rubber thing. I actually dissected the fender and found out why it rusts. It was really an interesting process. I was working on the rusty side, and my buddy Wade was working on the clean side, the one fender that was brand spanking new, basically. And so you get in there and you're cutting it all apart, and you actually cut out the bottom part of that metal and rubber sandwich, and you rip out that piece, that rubber piece, and leave the top part metal there that's left. And I had to take out a significant amount of the fender that was rusty too. But there's still plenty of fender left to hold up that plastic piece. So I went through that process, had a good time doing it with my buddy Wade. He was doing some other rust repair in his Jeep, so we're in my garage. But we were able to rip apart all the parts that were going to be engineered wrong, or it was engineered wrong, I should say, that caused that rust. We took all that out. We spent a lot of time doing a lot of pour 15 work and pour 15 all over the place underneath. With pour 15, and then I painted the inner fender wells, so because it's kind of like a gray primer, so I painted that all black with a rattle can. So I hit the pour 15, the rusty parts, and all the metal parts that we had, we kind of filed down a little bit. Metal parts that we cut, we filed down, and then I painted all that bare metal. Now in doing this, you're also going to lose your blinkers and your side markers. Side markers, there's really no law why you have to have those guys. So where I'm going to end up, taking the bulbs out. And doing a black taping up that deal, and I might put those on the fenders later on. But the other problem is the blinkers. So this is where we get fancy. And my buddy Wade can take credit for all this because he did the research on it. But he cut. Well, what we did is he found some used JK turn signals, and then I actually bought some brand new ones for about the same price. I think I spent $25 on a pair of just the shell. I didn't even have the blinker in it because you actually use the same exact light bulb. But we cut the front of our fenders, front of the grill, to kind of make it look like almost like a CJ up front. And so the hole we had to cut, I can't remember the exact diameter, but when I talk to my buddy Wade, I'll kind of put it in the show notes. But we cut the holes for the JK turn signal, put it up front, kind of rerouted the wire. You might want to have somebody, if you're doing this project yourself, you might want to have somebody around who has small hands to kind of help you kind of feed the wire through. I grabbed my 12 and a half year old son, who was gracious enough to help me out with this part. He got his hands in there and was able to wire or pull the cord through for the bulb. Got it all hooked up. And before we put it back in there, again, we pour 15 around there, cut hole, painted that a little bit with pour 15 basically. And then I made sure the light bulb and everything worked with that blinker. Of that lens holder, lens, light bulb holder, whatever you want to call it. It all worked. Clicked it in there. There is some, you have to cut the metal for some tabs, the tabs to go through. So you'll have to figure that piece out, but we've figured it all out. I'll put that in the social media too, but that's all kind of built into that grill now. All the blinkers are built right into the grill. It looks great. The other thing it does by cutting the fender is it gives you way bigger clearance for tires. And so right now I have 31s. I'm going to 35s. And I have enough lift, and I probably don't need much of a lift at all anymore if I didn't want to. But it has the opening for a big wheel and tire, and so it can hold that. So it was really kind of nice to open all that piece up. Then, like I said, I painted it all, so it kind of looks a little bit better. You can also count on buying yourself some new hood latches. To get those hood latches off the other fender, you got to do that because you have to lay the plastic piece on top. We were one of three, between the three of us that did this project already, but keeping our stock hood latches. Wade's went just fine. He was able to get his off. Ironically, his is a daily driver, probably sees the most rust, or most salt, and his came apart real easily. Brent's and mine, we had to cut out and order some new ones. The hood latches. Again, $25. I think I went to Amazon for those guys, about the most stock-looking ones I can. Because I like to keep some things just stock, and they come tomorrow, so I'm excited to see that. So the pictures you'll see will be based upon having those on, so should have those on tomorrow. What else did we do? There was a few holes we got to cut, so you'll definitely need, if you have a darker color Jeep, you'll definitely need like a silver Sharpie. If you have a light color Jeep, black Sharpie works just fine to do the outline for the cutting. Comes with a template, you get your arts and crafts timeout and scissor, and you cut around there to get the template on there. We didn't bother putting a front piece on. There's a kind of a front bracket you can put on. We didn't bother to do that because it didn't quite line up to where we wanted it. So we kind of slid it back just a tiny bit from where they kind of wanted it. But you gotta do some cutting. So the instructions are pretty thorough. And since it was the third one that we did, my buddy Wade, we barely looked at the instructions. We just kind of got after it. We knew what we had to do. I watched him do the second one, and so me doing the third and him doing one side, me doing the other went pretty quick. This is probably a 3 to 4 hour job. Tools for cutting, a Dremel would be nice, or air powered type of cutoff wheel would be nice. Metal jigsaw, that would work. Like I said, the hole saw, different color Sharpies you'll need. Pour 15, the color paint that you want to use in the under fender. That's kind of the pieces we used. In the end, why we chose this one over all the other options was longevity and expense. If you're looking at fenders that are inner fender replacements that are still kind of like a highline fender, you're going to be spending some good bit of money. And on a Jeep that, I bought it, if it was a $40,000 Jeep, I might put more money into it. But it's like, well, I want to keep the cost low because, I'm not ever going to get that money back out of it. So I might as well just do what works the best. And having a chance to pour 15, anything that could rust underneath, and putting plastic fenders on top was the option. And also the modeling style, why it looks the way it does, I think it's based off a 1948 Jeep wagon truck. I'm looking up a Jeep truck. I think the fender, there it is, has a look to, here it is, Jeep Willys truck 1948. If you kind of look that up, there's a green one online, and the fender kind of looks like that era of truck. So it kind of has an old school look to it, so it's not like a whole new design. Here I'm looking at a Willys pickup. It's a blue one, actually, so it kind of follows that same look. I don't know if that was inspiration or just by accident. I'm sure that it was. They took some inspiration from the older design, but that's kind of what it looks like. I was actually watching another video. I'm like, oh, that looks a lot like the Wade's fender and the ones he got. So it'll keep your Jeep looking like a Jeep, which is pretty cool. But it'll have a whole different look in terms of kind of different eras, because you have a little bit of a CJ on a grill, then you got this 48 CJ Willy or 48 Willys pickup kind of working for you with the fenders, and you know that those pieces aren't going to rust again because you're reusing all of your inner fender, and that part, not much rust is happening there. It's just really that top and really underneath going up if that rust goes in. So that's kind of the option we took. If your fenders are in really bad shape in that area, I think this could be an option. You just got to take a look at the pictures and see how much I cut out. So it could be an option for you. It's what worked good for us. I mean, if you're living down south and you don't have this problem, you never have to worry about it. But if you're up here in Minnesota or around the area, you're gonna have some problems with this area or with this same thing, rust problems. Other parts are gonna rust on the TJ, the tailgate, and on kind of the corners, I guess. Not really the tailgate, but the corners, like underneath this the license plate, and then the opposite side. That's where we just see where those hinges are at. That's just where you see a lot of rust. So we're putting a lot of pour 15 and paint on those parts a lot, and then maybe even cab corners. I think my brother's cab corners on his, and it kind of works, just covers it up. But nothing I think is more common is the rusty fenders. So that's why I want to do a little segment and just talk about that and what we did, and how it came out. I think we did the 3-inch fenders from MCE. They also have 4.5 and 6. 3 is closest to stock, but if you have some spaced out wheels and tires, we were kind of kicking ourselves. We're only keeping the 3.5. We thought maybe we should have went to 4.5 or 3, I should say. We went to 3, but the 4.5 might be the kind of the happy medium. If you got some real wide tires and you don't like mud flung up or water flung up when it's raining out, maybe the 6 will work for you. So you can kind of take a peek at it, but definitely looks pretty awesome. So we like it. So there you go. That's kind of how what we did with our fender solution, our fender problem. The problem is, like I said, it rusts at the top, and nothing we can do about it because it's an engineering issue. And the goal is to be rust free. So we did as best we could and found a way, a solution that worked for us. Seems pretty extreme because if you look at the video, or the, not video, the pictures, I take a pristine fender and cut it, but the other side is a pretty rusted out fender. So for me, it was like, I got to cut into a brand new fender, basically, or newish, pristine fender. No rust problems on this side, but the other side definitely had problems. So I bit the bullet and did it. Almost every TJ, any TJ I look at, first place I look is that front fender. Does it have that rust spot? And what solutions did they take to do it, to fix it? And sometimes people are lucky enough. Like I said, I was one of two for being lucky, but for most people, they're gonna have a problem with that fender. So. Hope this helps some of you guys out. If you have any questions about it, there's some pictures online. You can ask me, I guess. But that's as far as my expertise with it. We just went with it and started cutting. And like I said, it took a few hours, but definitely gonna be worth it. Not have to worry about fenders rust anymore. So, hey, this week's featured Jeep. I want to talk about the one that got away. There was a TJ on the Facebook page on M&M Jeeps that Jeff put up, and it was gone in a heartbeat. I think somebody saw it and snapped it up pretty dang quick. But there is another one there that you guys should take a look at. That's a 2015 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Rubicon. It's a silver one. It has a set of KO2s on it right now, looks like. It's a pretty stock setup right now. Has the touchscreen, has the sub, has some nice leather seats in it, 58,000 miles. Obviously, it's the Rubicon, so it has all the features that come with the Rubicon. And it is a nice, clean-looking Jeep. So, for somebody who's looking for a nice setup, this does have the Alpine sound system. So even better yet than just the sub, it is a nice Jeep with, like I said, 58,000 miles for just under 30 grand. So it's a nice starter Jeep for a build or a nice daily. It's ready to go. So check that one out. And if you pick this one up, as always, you get a $500 credit over to Zeus Off-Road to kind of, get this one set up for you for off-road. If you want to do a little leveling kit or a 4-inch lift, 5-inch lift, big tires, they can do that. And then, like I said, you get a $500 credit for that. And if you already have a Jeep, you can always just go to Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville and tell them you heard about the podcast. If you get some work done, you get a free hat or t-shirt. And, Chad would love to take care of you guys down there. So, again, we can thank our sponsors, M&M Jeeps and Zeus Off-Road. Hey guys, we're back. Hey, I actually had, I thought I'd give my buddy Brent a call and ask him if he wanted to come over and be on the podcast, and he said, sure. So say hi, Brent.
Hey, how's it going? I actually came over here for a couple beers, and then I found out that I had to talk on this thing for a while, so, but happy to be here.
So I met Brent years ago in my day job. I worked with his wife, and then she suggested that he come in and work with me. And so we started working together, and he told me he had a Jeep. And back then, I wasn't into it yet. I thought, that's a cool vehicle and everything. And then after I got my Jeep is when I talked to him, and we went off-roading together the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Mitch and I, we popped our off-road series together at Chuck's Winter, wasn't it?
Winter Run, that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, it was 2016, so it would have been 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So that's the first time we went off-road, and I think that's where Brent got his nickname, Fifth Gear, because he was hitting everything basically as fast as his Jeep could go. I think because you had the baldest tires known to man at the time. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I had my Jeep for a few years. I got exactly the same stock Jeep that Mitch had before he went to work on it. We both have black 01 TJs. And at the time, they were both as stock as they get. And, I bought mine actually as just kind of a summer cruiser, although it wasn't my daily driver. And then, Mitch gets the crazy idea of, hey, we should actually take these things off-road and see what they can do. And, of course, I thought that sounded good. We got Wade out, who's been a guest on this as well. And I think your brother joined us, too. Mike didn't have his Jeep yet, but he was riding shotgun with me.
That's the first day he met you.
I said,
oh, you could jump in with Brett. And he jumped in with you.
The thing I remember most was just I was shocked at what a stock Jeep could do. I mean, we took a look at some of these hills, and I couldn't believe that I was starting to get up some of them. And then what I lacked in skill, and I tried to make up for in just popping it into fifth gear and just blasting through whatever. I've put a few dents in my vehicle, smushed back a bumper, and put a couple big dents in some fenders. So I'm trying to incorporate a little more skill, a little less. A little less fifth gear.
Well, we cut that. What was that front bumper you bent back?
Yeah.
Just cut it off.
Yeah. That was Wade's idea. It bent it all the way back to the tire, and Wade just said, well, yeah, it'll look cooler anyway if we cut off the sides of these bumpers. And then, you've got the same look now, too.
Wade and I did the same thing. Like, oh, that looks pretty good. Let's go ahead and do that, too. So that's exactly what we did. So your Jeep is, I talked about your Jeep a couple different times, and I mentioned earlier in this podcast, I was talking about the fenders. And just to note, the hole saw size we have to use for those JK headlights is 3 1/8 is the hole saw size we use. So I mentioned that I didn't know the size. Now I texted Wade and he goes, yep, 3 1/8. So that's that size, in case you were wondering. And location is where you want to put it. You try to do one side and then try to eyeball it and do the other side. Sounds a little odd, but you can get your tape measure out all you want and do that too. But we did a few upgrades to your Jeep over the years, and let's talk about those a little bit. Now, one of the first things we put a winch on, is that right?
Winch went on. That's, 3 years ago, 2 years maybe, something like that?
You did it right after Wade and I did ours, I think. You were pretty far, weren't too far behind what we did.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Same winch that Wade, now Mike has, is that Smittybilt 10K synthetic. And then we did, what did you do next? We did the Old Man Emu that lift kit that we got.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Put the lift on, and then it was a whole different world with the winch and the lift, and then it's, then you're off to the races, and it's just addiction from that point on.
And then you had KO2s on for a little bit, and then Wade went and found you some Mickey Thompsons, right?
Yep, got those. Got
33s?
Those, got those 33s on there, big mud tires. They're a blast. I can't wait to, those are the most recent addition. I haven't actually had on the trails since I put those on, so I'm really looking forward to airing those down to somewhere in that 10 range and just spreading that footprint out nice and wide and really really doing some crawling and a little less just blasting your way through. So
yeah, we did. We also did the fenders in yours. Now yours, we talked about this is the fender episode, but the fenders that you had before, they were getting pretty rotted out, and they had holes straight through them. Every TJ rust in the same spot. We kind of talked about that earlier in the podcast. But yours were at a point where, like, well, you need to replace the whole fender or find something else out. And you kind of followed Wade's suit because I think, you guys do this together or Wade do this first?
Yeah, he did his first. And, he's good about being the guinea pig. And then, when it's us, we move it along a little quicker. But, yeah, that's I've learned since that that's just a real engineering flaw, I think you call it, Mitch. So just the top part of those front fenders just on every TJ just rust through. And I'd gotten to the point where I could see through it. And it was getting close to being able to, like, stick fingers through there and whatnot. And so I had to do something. And, yeah, that upgrade worked out great. And then with the lift and those 33s that fill it out nice, it's fun to drive around. It's a sharp look. And
yeah, I mean, it really brought it back,
Yep.
Brought it back really nice. So we did a couple other trails together, and the one I talked about in a previous episode was we went up to Gilbert.
Yeah. That hence the new Mickeys, right? There was a casualty on that trail.
Oh, yeah. You ran right into that tire and you know, gashed your tire, but we put some big plugs in there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I think you've got over this on this pod, Mitch, but we're kind of trying to crawl up this hill there, and there was a rock that was might as well have just been a sword, and it was so sharp, just even run your fingers on it. And I, of course, you know, found it the hard way and tore open a sizable gash in the sidewall. And you know, it's like, oh my god, this tire is, I might as well just leave it here. And then you know, Wade jumps out of his Jeep and he's like, I've got some plugs. And I'm like, well, this isn't a nail,
you know, but it wasn't a round hole, yeah, it was a good two inch
just gash, and it was rough too. It wasn't a clean cut, but he shoved enough of those in there that you know, we got it aired up, and you know, of course, you know, the next morning I went out to take the Jeep to work, and it was all the way down flat again. But
that was by the end of the week, though. You had to get our tires.
Yeah, it got me home. And then you know, of course, that's the good thing about breaking something on a Jeep is it gives you an excuse to go upgrade it. So went from 31s to 33s, and you know, I'm the most expensive rock I ever hit, but I'm happy the way it turned out.
And those tires were relatively new, weren't they?
I mean, they're about 2 years old. The Mickeys, it came on some steel rims too, which I really like the look of. You know, threw those on and actually ended up selling the 31s on the old aluminum wheels, pretty good price to some guy. But now he's you know he's rocking those.
Cool, and I had an idea in my head. Let's talk about your radio, because you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of TJs come with, what TJs have, a stock radio. It's actually a single DIN radio. A single DIN is just the height of the deck. So you have the standard, must be about 2.5 inch high, but a double DIN is probably closer to, you know, 3-4 inches high. Mm-hmm. And you can put a double DIN deck in, but you have to change out the bezel a little bit. You got to do a little bit of trimming here and there. And that's how you can get your Apple CarPlay device. It's kind of modernizing the Jeep. Mm-hmm. Brent's wife texted me and Wade, and she said, you know, Brent really wants a new radio for Christmas. What do you suggest? And I have been eyeing this Jensen radio for a while. And what it has, you push a button and it comes out, a screen will kind of fly forward and flip up.
Okay? Yeah, no, that.
But that's... it has a single DIN, so all you gotta do is basically plug it in there and you hit a button and it flips up. How's it work for
you? It's working great, and the install was... it was nice because, like you said, you just pop out the stock one. I still had the original in there, and you just slide in the new Jensen. And like you said, it has this retractable touchscreen that tucks back in, and it kind of comes out on a tray, and then tilts up at a 90-degree angle. So you've got this big touchscreen in front of you. You plug in your iPhone or Bluetooth it, and you know, you can just run it like it came with the vehicle. It's great.
And so it runs all your podcasts and everything. So, you know, Apple CarPlay, some people don't have that, but I have it my daily, and I enjoy it because I don't have to touch my phone at all. I just push the button. I want to listen to this podcast or this radio or whatever, this station.
Yep. And as someone who recently found themselves on the wrong end of the new hands-free law, it's good to not have that temptation to fool around with your phone when you can just use the touchscreen in front of you. So.
Oh, man. Good lawyer might get you out of that.
Yeah, if I knew one.
But so the idea there is the Jensen, I can't remember the number, but if you plug in, you know, Google it for yourselves if you guys are looking for something like that. But
it's a great radio. I mean, Mitch and Wade really did me a solid there by pitching that to Beth, my wife, and Wade helping me get that installed in there. It's a great radio.
Yeah, I think reasonably priced. I was looking at someone with a double DIN that was going to be closer to $400 or $500 to do that idea, and this one was right around 2.5. And so, all in, you know, 2.5. How long was the install? 40 minutes, half hour. Wasn't too bad, was it?
Yeah, a little better than that. But you know, Wade does a good job. We soldered everything in place and whatnot. So. It was probably, you know, a couple hours of beer drinking kind of
insulation. So you took your time.
Took our time, enjoyed the evening. At the end of it, had a working radio. But again, you know, my other one had actually broken, so this was, you know, kind of another example of, you know, something breaks and that's good news.
So. Yeah, what's funny, mine, why I put a different radio in mine right away, is I turned the volume knob to go louder.
Yep.
And it'll get quieter.
That is exactly what happened to mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. And then you know, I'd play with it enough, and then it would, you know, go up again, and then I'd try to turn it down, and it would go louder, and then eventually it just stopped working altogether.
So it's funny.
But I went through about 3 years of that, and I didn't, my kids are just like, Dad, you need to get another radio. You can't listen to anything.
God, you have a high tolerance for crap like that.
I know. I'm way too much.
Way too much, man. So that was the radio upgrade. I know we did the winch. We talked about that a little bit. And the tires. What's next for you, you think?
I don't know what the next thing is going to be. I saw those lockers that you've got ready to install. You know, that's a tempting add-on. I'm not sure what the next thing's going to be. I do drive my Jeep around town quite a bit right now. It's my daily driver. I'm kind of hesitant to, you know, go up to 35s or something else. Having some lockers installed would be fun to have that option available on the trails.
Yeah, and Brent and I, we've been talking. First thing he said to me was, I listened to your last podcast. It sounds like we need to go to South Dakota pretty bad.
Yep.
That's the first thing he says to me. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the idea, is that, you know, get around a little bit more. And this summer I do have a trip planned out to South Dakota with my own wife. And it should be a good time just to go see something different, see something new. And the reason I want to do the lockers, I think I mentioned before, is some of the trails, you know, it would be nice to have that locker function just to get through the trail. Mm-hmm. But Moab, they require it on some of the trails. And so if you have 33s or 35s in lockers, you can go on twice as many trails all of a sudden. So my plan is to do multiple trips out there. So just want to be ready for when that happens.
Yeah, it's nice to have those options. As I started off saying that it's amazing what you can even just do with a stock Jeep, but it's kind of fun, you know, with each new add-on. You know, for me, it was the winch, and then it was the lift, and, you know, now onto the 33s, and it's, you know, it just kind of opens up like kind of that next challenge that wouldn't have even been possible to attempt. Only so much you can blast your way up through in fifth gear, but it's fun, kind of, you know, you want to put everything in your Jeep all at once, but just taking it incrementally, I think it kind of makes you appreciate each step.
I remember one time we were at Trollhagen, and all of a sudden your Jeep's going up the hill, and I'm like, man, he's flying right up that. And it was one of those, you go up, and it's a tight turnaround to come back. It's a really hard obstacle. And just coming down, I noticed that Brent wasn't driving, Beth was. And she was fifth gear it herself.
Yeah, I think that's what I told her to do. Like, it was a steep hill, just go as fast as you can up this thing and just grip it and rip it.
And she comes down, she's like, that was awesome.
I know. It's been a blast. As I said, I'd had that Jeep for a long time, and but needed you guys to kind of take that first step of, you know, breaking the ice, getting us into these groups, because, you know, living in Minneapolis, you know, I just didn't know where to start. You know, I didn't have access to any trails on any farmland or anything like that. And, you know, the Jeep clubs, you know, when I kind of would take a look, it seemed kind of a little intimidating. You know, you look at some of the stuff that they show on their, you know, videos, and like, oh my gosh, like, that's, I can't do that. And the kind of rigs that they have, you know, it doesn't look anything like my stock Jeep. But then we showed up to one, and, you know, everyone just, you know, welcomes you in, just a part of the community. You know, I was a little worried that I'd be kind of looked down on for having kind of a lame stock Jeep, but didn't have that experience at all. And it got the ball rolling. And, you meet people at all these events, and, you know, they're all great. They're all interested in growing the sport, growing the community. And it's just been a real positive experience. So anyone listening to this that, because, you know, new stock Jeep thinks that, it's not really, you know, something they're going to challenge themselves with off-road, just go to an event, you know, because you're not going to be expected or asked to do anything you're uncomfortable with or that your vehicle can't handle.
And there's plenty of help around here.
Yeah, plenty of help. You know, if you don't have a winch on your vehicle, that's no big deal because, you know,
the next guy does.
Well, yeah, the next guy has it. You know, everyone's got straps. And, you know, getting stuck is a lot of the fun. So, and the guys, they're not feeling inconvenience. You know, they're going to have a great time. They love it when someone gets stuck, because now we all got a problem to figure out. Now, how are we going to get this Jeep down this ravine, you know, up to back where it can, you know, drive itself out of here.
So. I remember our first year, like, if I had to think back, there was the stock class, the stock Jeep guys, lightly modified, and then the heavily modified.
Yeah, and you find yourself in a group with, you know.
I think the biggest group was the stock class.
Yeah.
You know, that was the more than 2/3 of it was the stockers out there. They're mostly stock.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just, you know, you got a couple guys that, you know, that have winches or whatnot for when you get stuck, and everyone has a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we, that Chuck's run was a blast. Gilbert, of course, other than tearing open my wheel well, was, that's a blast as well. And, there's so many good events around here. And mm-hmm. This podcast has been great for really spreading the word about those.
Yeah, and there's plenty of Jeep clubs out in the area, and hopefully tomorrow night we're creating our own.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're in the inaugural meeting.
Yeah, tomorrow night we're going to go to Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association meeting, and we're going to kind of put our money down and talk about it, forming our own club. Just our small group of guys is what we're looking for, and we're just looking for more opportunities to go into some different areas. We need to be part of a club, and so we're going to make our own, and that way we control what we do, I guess.
Yeah, again, kind of taking that next step. You know, it's each modification is a step, and forming this new club is going to give us access to some trails at different times that we might not otherwise have access to it, and looking forward to it.
Then my brother was just like going, well, why don't we just join another club? I'm like, well, because we can't always make it to those meetings. They're on different days, and we like to be part of a club and do our thing, but we also don't want to be part of a club and never go to a meeting, so we'd rather just do our own little club and kind of take it from there. So kind of what we figured out would be best for us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we kind of, so it's so funny how we started off, knowing each other, doing a thing together at the gym, but then, you had a Jeep and we never really talked about doing anything with it. And then, we kind of come full circle now. We text and talk more than people think about our Jeeps and random stuff we're doing, and send pictures back and forth. So
yeah, you've got an 01 TJ, and then all of a sudden Wade's got an 01 TJ.
Oh, he had an 03, then I got mine, and Mike got his too.
Yeah, and then now we got a cross thread Jeep club.
Yeah.
So it's so, one thing I'll say is, it's funny when you're some of you guys getting to know Mitch through this podcast, but don't ever tell him about something you're looking for aftermarket. Like, oh gee, I kind of like how that I'm kind of looking at air compressors, or I'm kind of looking at this or that, because every night you'll get about 5 texts with different options that are available on Craigslist and whatnot. So
how you got your tires.
It
though.
Is, and it's how I got my. I got
between Wade and I think he found them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I got a
your radio.
It's I just kind of say it just kind of half serious, because it is actually kind of nice having a guy doing your shopping for you. That's how I got my soft top too. I bought a new soft top, and you found that one for me as well too. So. Sent that over to me, and I was at my kid's football game. I was like, gosh, this is actually pretty cool. So I'll just swing over there and buy it. And, of course, this guy's a Jeep guy, too. So next thing I know, we're, putting it on in his driveway.
Well, that's the thing. If you have a club or a group of friends that you kind of have a group chat with, it's like that. It's like, hey, how about this? Or I really kind of need this. Keep a lookout. And, Wade actually sent me a few things back in the day, too, where you need this, you should buy this. Mm-hmm. And I got these grab handles, Mitch, you need them, too. And like before I know it. But sometimes our Jeeps almost start to look like each other's because, I like what he's got over there, and you need to buy that same thing for yourself.
We each put in that Smitty Belt winch and whatnot that now your brother's got it.
So. Yeah, well, Wade did all the research. And
and we benefited.
I'll get the same one as you. It's easy to put together. So it worked out just fine. So, cool. Well, thanks for coming in here and talking a little bit, Brent.
Yeah.
And
appreciate the invite. My first podcast. So,
I'll put a link into about the fenders that we put on. I'll put that on the podcast in the show notes.
And those are great. Yeah, those are great fenders. That's a great add-on. Yeah.
And it was about how long did it take me? Probably about 5 hours to do the whole thing. And what I really did, I really got into, like I said in the first part of this podcast. Pour 15 everything, cut everything out, cut all the parts that were going to give you trouble with the rust, and put these on. And the reason we went that route, because of the salt we have in Minnesota, but was also the cheapest option. About $200 you can get these things now for online, and heck of a deal. And versus buying a whole new fender or going the metal cloak route, which I thought was a little more expensive we want to spend. But we just went that route because that was good for us. And, if you have something else that works good for you, that's fine. It's just this is the route that we went. So if it works for you, cool. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Hey, Hey guys, thanks for listening. As always, we're brought to you here by Zeus Off-Road in Birdsville, Minnesota. They are independently owned and would love to help you build up your Jeep. And by M&M Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. They'd like to help you find that Jeep of your dreams. So check those guys out. Check out their social media sites. They have some great social media programs going on. They'll show you exactly what they do and also what's on their lot.